Thankful for your pastor's spirit. It's refreshing.
Hello.
It's refreshing to see the spirit of your pastor and the burden he has. Thank God for him. And I'm going to show you a little clip from Indiana, just a little bit, so that you can kind of see what I do in the schools again, just 2 minutes long. And then I'm going to bring a message from Titus 2, if you want to have your Bibles ready there. It'll be Titus 2. Great. Just guess in your Bible where it is.
Bring Bob Holmes, the one-man volleyball team, to your campus and community. This incredible athlete has amazed audiences across the country, playing solo in nearly 19,000 games in front of over 5 million spectators. He beats all the odds by single-handedly facing high school athletes, Division I athletes, and professional athletes like the Minnesota Vikings, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Miami Dolphins, the Baltimore Orioles, and many, many more. He'll play your male athletes, your female athletes, your faculty, and the whole audience. In a humorous, entertaining, and challenging fashion, Bob brings a strong and encouraging message of hope, of how each one of us can beat the odds despite our circumstances.
It takes an amazing amount of energy to do this, but it's because of what I'm going to tell you in the next few minutes that I've kept going all over this country. I don't want to see one more person end up as a flower arrangement on the side of the road.
I mean, besides his volleyball skills, they're outstanding. Just the way he brought his message was so fantastic. What he had to say was great. His message, so powerful.
He openly addresses issues of substance abuse, bullying, drinking, and now texting while driving.
All right. I had a friend when I was 13. She was the same age, and she was killed in a car accident. There were no cell phones back then. I don't think it was that, but it just kind of brought those memories flooding back to me as he was talking about the student.
Suicides have been averted, and life-changing decisions have been made as a result of Bob's convocations. To bring Bob to your school or community, go to beatbob.com. That's beatbob.com.
Time I see it, I'm exhausted looking at it. Excited about what God may open up in March. Thank you so much for bringing me here as a church. And if you look at Titus, now you can see where you're going here. Titus 2, and look at verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now stop and think for a minute. Salvation is by grace and not works, right? We don't work our way into salvation, but for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, should I take the credit for going to heaven when Jesus paid the whole price? When I spoke to 600 Amish people, they came in their horse and buggies, and they were ready to play me in volleyball, and many of them don't use electricity and don't do this and don't do that. And my message title that night was, you're not saved by what you don't do, you're saved by what Jesus did. And they listened. It was amazing. About 200 Amish people received the Lord that night. And I said to them, it's the finished work of Christ on the cross that saves us by grace, and so you can give up all you want to give up. But giving up stuff and isn't what gets us to heaven. Otherwise, we would get the credit for what we gave up to get there. But it's what Jesus gave his son up. So the grace of God brings salvation, hath appeared to all men. But notice what the grace teaches us. This is interesting. We are not saved by works. We're saved by grace. But the next verse says that the grace teaches us something. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope. How many believe Jesus is coming? And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Every time the Bible talks about grace, he brings up the subject of works right after that. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are created in Christ Jesus under good works. And every time you see the subject of faith, you will see something brought out about works following grace, because you can't help but say when you get grace, God, I got to do something for you because of all you did for me. And it's like all of a sudden the heart is overwhelmed with the goodness of God, and the works come out of appreciation, not out of trying to merit the salvation. But he says these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no man despise thee. Now, how many believe I ought to preach what God tells me to preach tonight, whether it's popular or not? Now, one lady got mad at me one time when I was preaching, that she picked up her purse and whammed my wife in the face with it. And when the service was over, she did not shake my hand. She came by and looked at me up and down and said, "You made me sick." I didn't know what to say. I said, "I'm sorry you're not feeling well." I was just dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. But if the preaching makes somebody sick, hopefully they'll get the cancer out, right? And be helped. And so tonight, God tells me to rebuke and exhort about good works and being a peculiar people. So, Father, I pray you'll help me tonight to do that and help us to go out of here like we heard from you and not a man. Would you ask God to speak to your heart so that every word that you're hearing tonight, you know, is coming directly from heaven and not from just a human vessel. Now, God uses us as human vessels, which is amazing. And, Father, I just can't get over how you choose to use my mouth when I have not gotten my redeemed body yet that's perfect. And I pray as I preach the perfect Bible tonight that we would hear from you. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Lord, help us to get out of ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, be consumed with urgency so you will forget yourself. That's the title of the message. So he says, we are to be a peculiar people who are zealous of good works. The best illustration I can give you is this. Truth ought to inspire us so much that it sends us out. A truck hit a car full of teenagers in front of a church, and I watched as those ambulance drivers were frantically trying to rescue four teenagers where two of them's head was stuck on the dashboard. So you saw the jaws of life being used, and all 35 rescue people were acting like this. And I mean, they were all consumed with doing everything they could with every second they had. They had a spirit of urgency. They weren't thinking about themselves. There was no bubblegum chewing. There was no laughing. It was urgency, because at the scene of the wreck, they were standing between life and death. And I thought to myself, when those ambulance drivers were sitting there in the classroom learning how to use jaws of life, most likely in the classroom, they probably yawned and wondered when class was going to be over at different times and made a joke maybe to the guy next to him. But you know what? At the scene of the wreck, there wasn't any joking. At the scene of the wreck, it was like vital that they forget they exist and just do everything they can to save the teenagers. Now, let me say this. Can we go from a sermon on hell to where we're at the front line with urgency? Where we just forget what we are and what we need and what our life is about and say, we've got to do something about our generation. Now, two Olympic players came to me and they said, we could have you on our Olympic team just like that. I said, I'm not interested. They said, how come? I said, because I have a message I've got to get out. And I honestly believe, had I given up what I was doing for a couple of years to join the, and they said, we'll let you play one position and you can rotate. I said, that'd be like a vacation for me. But I said, I'm not interested. And they said, why? I said, because I'm urgent about getting the message out. And I don't want to take 2 years out to try out and do all the practicing and all the Olympic stuff. All I want to do is get this message out. Now, there needs to be an urgency. When he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night. But if you will not hear, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And mine eyes shall weep sore. Now, they didn't just deliver a speech. They had their heart behind it. It was like they had passion behind it. And the, oh, that my head would run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, listen to this, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, if I don't have passion, but if I'm not at the accident, really caring for people, that if it's just a job I'm going to do an assembly, then I'm just making noise like a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Do you mean to say that God would look at me and say, you're nothing if I don't love? You're nothing if all you're doing is just sitting there hearing pastor preach week after week and never doing anything with it. I don't want God to look at anybody and say, you're nothing. But if you don't get to the scene of the wreck, and I'm, oh, by the way, churches are constantly playing their political games. I'm of this one, and I'm of that. I might as well start with where I graduate. I'm from Tennessee Temple, and I'm from this college, and I'm from Pensacola, and I'm from, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where we're from. It matters what God wants. Now, God says, will you have a spirit of urgency? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, even burned at the stake, because I want to be in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Wow, is that powerful. So what we ought to say, if 2 million young people are trying to kill themselves now every year, and if more kids died last year than the whole Middle East war, and if a principal takes me in front of a school and shows me a cemetery, and he said, here are 12 gravestones of the students that have died recently in my school, and I walked away with that principal crying, and I cried, I said, I can't believe a cemetery, a mock cemetery, is in front of a public school in America. And I've prayed, oh God, help me not to just give a speech in the schools, but help me to deliver my heart. And you see all this stuff going on. Then a school principal said, you won't believe what happened in my school. He said a girl killed herself, and they had a party. And they were acting out all night how she killed herself, laughing through the party. I said, you mean we've come to that point in America? He said, yes, sir. Another principal said, this girl went in the bathroom. She saw her name on the restroom wall. Go home and swallow motor oil. Light a match to your throat. We don't want you here anymore. She got so depressed, she went in her bedroom for 3 months. 3 months, they fed food under the door. 3 months later, she came back to her school. And one girl said hi to her. And she said, that one hi changed my whole life. If only she could find out that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords did a lot more than just say hi. He came down to earth. And then he died the worst death known to man, called crucifixion. Come with me to another school and hear the story about a boy that just limped while he walked. And they knocked the books out from under his arms. Then he's in the band room and they put their band instruments in the garbage pan. The next day he was hung to death in the bathroom. Well, we were just playing. Yeah, but you'll never play with them again. Another school told about a boy that had two garbage bags in front of the school, and one of them fell, and a windstorm started blowing everything around, and a boy came over, "Let me help you." And he picked up his things and put them in the bag, and then he took off. Several years later, in that room, the boy saw him again. Years later, "What were you doing when I helped you pick up things and put it in the garbage bag?" He said, "You won't believe it." He said, "I was emptying out my locker because everybody hated me in this school." And he said, "Nobody cared about me." And he said, I was emptying out my locker. I had all my stuff in my two garbage bags. I was going home to kill myself. And then you helped me pick up my things. And I thought somebody cared about me. And I didn't do it just because you helped me put my stuff back in the bag. So I go to the rally and I say, God in heaven was bullied on the cross by the Roman soldiers. You may think you're being bullied because you go to a bathroom and see, and I use the illustration all the time, and you might see that story about the girl that was told, go home and swallow motor oil, but Jesus took a crown of thorns and a face beaten and a back beaten 39 times with a cat of nine tails. How many of you would agree that's more than just saying hi to somebody? How many would agree with that? Then what this world needs is to see a church on fire about it. To not, well, this is a cool idea. This is a nice thought. Maybe we can get them in the schools. It's, we've got to do this. And if the Spirit is like that, it'll happen. One atheist was putting out a church fire, and somebody hollered out, "Why are you helping a church?" He said, "Because it's the first church I've ever seen on fire." Do we care? Yeah, I'm going to shock you with this. I'm not being critical, but I am being truthful. These things rebuke with all authority. A church in Maine, Independent Baptist Church, had me in 10 schools. I was going to be in front of almost 8,000 young people with the name Jesus Christ. And in the school assembly, I'll say he's not a curse word, but he's my Savior, and they clap when I say it. Then they'll come out to the evening rallies. Well, in this particular church, they canceled me. And I said, why? 8,000 students are at stake here. How many of you believe people have a soul that's going to go forever in heaven or hell? I said, here's a chance to get in front of 8,000 people. He said, well, the reason we're canceling is our deacon board decided that there's no room in the Sunday school for all those that would be saved. So I wrote a sermon after that was over. No room in the Independent Baptist Church. Where's our hearts? I'll tell you another story. Does this really happen? It really happens. In another church, they had me lined up to go in the schools. They canceled. I said, why are you canceling? And I'm not saying this to be negative. I'm saying it because I believe the church needs a revival. And so what happened? They canceled. You say, why? Because the only night they could have the gym night was on Wednesday night, and that was their prayer meeting night. Thursday night there was a game, Friday night there was a game, Tuesday night there was a game, Monday night there was a game. Wednesday was the only free night. I said, well, we could do the 9 schools, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and have the Wednesday night just be an evangelistic service for one time the whole year to get some people out of hell. He said, that's our prayer meeting. And I got thinking to myself, what are we praying about? Picture this. A woman comes through that back door screaming, 90 years old. My house is on fire and my husband just fainted at the doorway. And he fainted from smoke inhalation. And I'm weak and I have no ability to pull him away. And the flames are getting very close to him. Would some men come over and help me? Excuse me, ma'am. We're praying right now. Let us finish praying and maybe we'll be over there. Going to hell forever is worse than somebody at a doorway with flames that might kill them for now. If somebody has a soul and a body that's going to scream out for one drop of water in hell, God help us not to be apathetic about it. Then I was in another church. This really happened. He said, what happened this time? They had a Wednesday night prayer service. They brought the unsaved to the church. There were 300 visitors, 300 people. They had a program lined up, and it was all outlined perfectly. They had a big submarine sandwich the whole length of the gym. Guess what? I ate half of it. Because I could eat. And they had that whole submarine sandwich. People dug in. Then I was to play three teams and preach after the third game. Now, everybody knew I was preaching after the third game. 500 were there because 200 were regular church people. 300 lost people. It was right time to preach. Finished my third game. 200 people left the gym. The pastor came up, he said, the people leaving right now are all my regular church people who are used to getting out of prayer meeting at 8:30 because it's our tradition to break at 8:30. So my church people are gone. Go ahead and preach to the lost people. May I announce something that doesn't win prizes with people? But he says to rebuke. The problem in our nation is not the public schools. It's not the lost world. It's the church. You're getting quiet. And the quieter you get, the longer I'm going to preach. We have got to admit the fact. It is our indifference that people are going to hell. Now, if your pastor's driving down the highway and you were in front of him and you saw there was a bridge out and you slammed your brakes and missed going off that bridge by that much, and you know your pastor's coming down the road his normal 90 miles an hour, would you say, Pastor, it might be wise to slow down? There is a bridge out here. Or, Pastor, slow down! I have a question. How many of you would do the second thing and not the first thing? Only 5 of you. Pastor... This church needs revival. You say, I'd scream. Wait a minute. No, everybody raise their hand. You would scream. Slow down. It's not right for me to open the Bible. Let us consider the Bible. Thus saith the Lord. What's wrong with preaching that way? There's an urgency. There is an urgency that needs to take Bob Holmes away from Bob Holmes. Now, 200 people left the gym, and the lost people heard the message. Now, what are we going to do? In Chicago, a rescue team was there as a boat submerged in ice-cold water. And a man went, listen to this, as he saw bobbing heads in the ice-cold water, he decided, I will swim out there and rescue as many people as I can. He swam out, brought one to shore. Swam out again, brought another to shore. Swam out, brought 15 people to shore. The ice cold water destroyed him. He's in the hospital room, ready to die. And the emergency attendant, he looked at the doctor and said, did I do my best? He says, yeah, you did your best. You saved 15 people and lost your own life. And the story says, he said, did I do my dead level best? Yeah, I'd say you did your dead level best. You lost your life for 15 people. And then he put a smile on his face and then died. Urgency. More money last year given to dog food than churches. $1,500 spent for a boxing match. And we don't even tithe our money. We're the problem. Then I said, Jeremiah said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shot up in my bones, and I couldn't stay, which means I couldn't quit preaching. Because when you have something boiling on the inside, it has to come out on the outside. If we all were boiling and things had to come out, the soul winning would automatically happen. We wouldn't care about whether we're shy or not. I wouldn't say, Pastor, I was too shy to get out there and scream, slow down. No, if we could get a hold of this, those ambulance drivers were not shy at that accident. We don't get the... Somebody said once, if we could take 1 second and see hell, we'd be the best soul winners that ever existed. But we can see hell in the Bible, and we all say it's true, so we ought to see it. Now, when I heard how the presidents of the past have made the statement, pray for the victims of the shootings, and then they're telling the kids, you can't pray. And so, like I said this morning, I think I used that illustration, we're telling them they can't pray while the president's saying, pray for the victims. Such hypocrisy. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That means we try to convince them. Knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing that the terror, we ought to be exceedingly urgent. The same God who sent his son rain fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. The same God who loves sinners is bringing brought a worldwide flood, right? The same God who's not willing that any should perish is bringing a tribulation period to this earth where hailstones weighing 100 pounds are going to fall on people, where locusts are going to come out, where water is going to turn to blood, where men gnaw their tongues for pain. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed and fall and not rise again, Isaiah 24:20. 47, behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them, and they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And they couldn't understand why Jesus would befriend sinners. I don't know how many times, Pastor, I have been criticized for what I'm doing. Oh, I know the principles. I know the humanistic crowd. I know the atheists. I know, no, the phone calls where I get on the phone and I'll say, Pastor, the kids are dying everywhere. I already got your email. Pastor, it's amazing. The public schools have opened their door. Kids line up. 30 of them waiting to cry. And then they come to the rally and hear we're not into those gimmicks. Volleyball, one man volleyball. We're not into that. I've heard it so many times. But Pastor, I heard from all your schools in your whole town. And what a miracle. I'm an evangelist. And I can get into every school because I heard from your superintendent. Well, our church won't participate in that. Over and over and over and over again, I'm hearing this on the phone. And I'm saying, do we believe in hell? Have we ever said, I'm going to rake them over the flames? No, that's not what I wanted tonight. I prayed in that, dear God, help the people not to feel like they're being scathed, but they're being led into what I'm burdened and what you're burdened about, because the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. How many believe that's still true? So it came to pass, as Jesus sat at the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said, they that be whole, I'm just making sure I'm reading this right, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But do we care about this? A girl wrote me, she said, you didn't give me a speech, you gave me my life. After hearing this message in my school, this is an email, I made the final step of receiving Christ as my Savior, Amy. out of the highways and byways of life. Many are weary and sad. Give as it was given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing to someone today. Now, I don't know if you're hot or cold, but I'm about to pass out because I've just started the sermon. If somebody could turn down the heat, it would help me not faint. But if you need it, if you need to be warm, keep it up there. I'll just deal with it. But let me tell you this. Many are weary and sad. How many would agree? Many are weary and sad. Here's another email. Before you came to my school, I figured I'd be just another assembly to get me out of class. But instead, God brought you to all of these schools to preach the message of change in Christ. Public school teenager. And you sure did preach that message I needed to hear. Lately, I've been down and thinking nothing's going to work out. And God sent you to remind all of us that His plan is bigger. And I want to help save people from their dangers now that I heard this. Thank you for coming to my school. I hope you can continue to visit more schools, preach the message even more, Samantha. Next, I was planning my death a few nights ago. And prior to meeting you today, I cut my wrist twice Tuesday night. However, I'm not the least bit ashamed to say that I'll no longer continue to self-mutilate because of this message. I'm grateful that you came to the school today, or I'd have gone through with my decision all my life. I just wanted to meet somebody who truly cared whether I'm alive or if I just disappear suddenly. Your coming has shown me that there's hope in Christ and staying alive is worth it. Where's the urgency that can take all of us away from us? Where's the urgency that can forget what my opinion is? Do what you want on the color of the carpet. Where's the passion? David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And how many believe his name is powerful? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now you're big, but my God is bigger. That all the earth may know there's a God in heaven. Why did he want to defeat the giant? Because he wanted himself elevated? No, he said, I want all the people to know that there's a God in Israel. I wanted the people to know in our public schools that humanism doesn't work. And I prayed, God, how can I go to school? And little did I ever dream God would put me in almost 6,000 of them now. But you know what? When I do the assemblies, and then I see kids coming to Christ and sending me the emails, it takes me away from me. And all of a sudden, it brings joy. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. So when we see about God's cause and we forget us, oh, wow, the church will be so happy. Christ Jesus came down to earth. And so when we lose our life, we find it, the Bible says. Here's another email. When you came to my school, I was about to end my life. I didn't have anything left to do except take up space in other people's daily life. I felt useless. I was going to end my life on my birthday, which was coming up a week after your assembly. I'd already prepared to hang myself with my own computer cord. And it was only a matter of time, but every day I think how you beat the odds and won against the volleyball team. Now it is my motivation to keep on going. On my birthday, I asked Jesus Christ to save me instead of ending it all. We're not into that, Bob. Another thing I heard, you're not a typical evangelist. Amen. I'm weird. But you know what? When I read this, I pray, God, help me not to be the typical. God, help me to be at the scene of the wreck. And help me to just forget whether they liked the sermon or not. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So I can quit everything I'm supposed to quit and not be right with God. I can quit drinking and smoking and watching filth and do it and give up everything in the list that we know we're supposed to give up. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So the truth is, I have a corgi at home. Cutest thing. And we say, you're a good dog. Why? Because you didn't bite me today and you didn't do something on the carpet. And you're a good dog because of what you didn't do. But my dog doesn't do anything. Right? So my spirituality ought to be more than my corgi. So you can quit everything you want to quit and not be right with God according to this. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. There it is. So I'm to be like the guy who said I like to witness when I'm having my oil changed in the waiting room because people can't go anyplace. He said it guarantees I'm going to witness every 3,000 miles. Right? I was preaching at an amusement park. They let me set up a net near the roller coaster. And I got to preach at the roller. I love preaching at roller coasters because people are thinking about death. And you're preaching as all these screams are happening in the background. It's just perfect. But you look for opportunities. And you say, God, open up something to him that knoweth to do good. So how, you say, I want God to lead me. Now, be honest with me. How many want this church blessed? Raise your hands. How are we going to be blessed and find what God has for us? Let me illustrate it this way. I know why some of you sit back there. You're afraid I'm going to use you. Yeah, you pick someone.
Anybody who plays volleyball, please stand.
All right, come on. You were the first one to stand. All right, guy in the green shirt. All right, now, I appreciate you coming up here. You're very, very honored to have you standing next to me.
You had your brother earlier today.
Yeah. It's the family.
You're not making this dream, are you?
No. Okay, no. You enjoyed that with your brother. I'm not going to do that to you. But I'm going to do something worse. But anyhow. Okay. Now, you are going to do something for me right now. By the way, I had a pulpit like this once. It wasn't quite as big as this. And the guy in the front row was so mad at me. I didn't know what I did. And when I got excited, I was actually picking up the pulpit and doing this. I wasn't just banging it. I was picking the whole thing. He was mad because the pulpit was hitting his feet. And he was in pain. And I was just getting with it, and I was pulpiting his toes. But I want you to do me a favor and just pretend you're driving. Okay, go ahead. All right. Now, he's driving right now, and how many of you would agree with me he looks strange? Raise your hands real high. Why? You didn't put the key in the ignition. Okay. Okay, now put it in drive, and now go forward and steer. Go to the right. Okay, you just hit a tree. All right, go a little further. Now turn right, turn left. Now the steering makes sense because he's moving forward. So how many would agree he looks normal now? They don't think you look normal when I watch it. Okay, so when you go left and right, standing there without moving, the steering looks silly. But once you're moving, you say, what does God do? He burns in your heart. By the way, do you have your license?
I do.
How'd you ever get it? Okay.
<He's>... every day.
Did you get your permit too? They permitted you? All right, so he's driving. Now, when he goes forward, the steering makes sense. God, steer me. God, steer me. God says, do what pastor preaches, and then I'll steer you. One guy said, amen. Boy, we're in a mess. You say to yourself, if I go, every time in Hebrews that God used those men, he said, go build an ark. Go do something. They went. By faith, they went. By faith, they built. By faith, they sojourned. Every time God used the men of faith, They did. They moved forward, and God steered them. Thank you so much. And he said, I want God to do something. Then move. Be at the wreck. Don't be satisfied you had some of the sub that went the whole length of the gym. Say to yourself, I'm going to stay because I want to see if God saves souls tonight. Now, it isn't love by having love. It is love by giving love. Until you do good, it's not good. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Now, we're not saved by works. But until you do something, you're not showing love to your Savior. God, I want you to direct me. Then move. Love is a deed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, he went about doing good and healing that which were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I must work the works of him that sent me. So, there needs to be somebody who march around the city seven times. There need to be somebody who will go in the lion's den. There needs to be somebody who will build an ark. There needs to be somebody who will say, I am not spiritual because of what I've quit on the list. The Pharisees themselves said, I don't do what other sinners do. There needs to be someone who will say, I'm going to purge myself from what's wrong so that I will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use and prepared to every good work. Wow. This is a faithful saying. I will that thou affirm constantly. Constantly means we got to constantly be reminded of this. Constantly. I will that thou affirm this constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Did I do my best? I'd say you did your best. You're willing to freeze and die to yourself to save 15 people. I read the statements. You can look them up later. The words that describe hell. Accursed. Anguish. Blackness. Bottomless pit. Burned. Condemned. A place of cursing. Damnation, darkness, eternal fire, everlasting fire, flame, fearful, forever, furnace, indignation, judgment, perish, everlasting punishment, pit, a place where one has suffering and torment and tribulation forever, unquenchable, wailing, weeping, wrath. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And God is able to make all grace abound toward. Now there's the subject of grace. Remember what I said? Every time you see the word grace, you see the subject of works. Listen to this. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amazing. Doesn't matter what your age is either. How many believe God can use anybody, whether they're 5 years old or 95 years old? You know you're old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. When all your letters end in, good to meet you, MD. Four ladies were in a car going 15 miles an hour. The policeman stopped them for going so slow. Why are you going 15? Road sign says 15. No, ma'am, that's the route number. And the policeman looked in the back seat, and the two ladies in the back were as white as a ghost. What happened to them? She said, we just got off route 150. That's what happened to them. Doesn't matter your age. God wants to use you. It's a matter of, is something burning in you? A seventh grade boy had something burn in his very spirit because he got to an accident and a man was crushed underneath the car. And that boy said, this man has to be helped. And God gave that seventh grade boy the ability to lift the car up. And somebody pulled him out. You would be shocked if you had passion what God would do. 3 years ago, said one email, come August, I was the victim of a rape. A 14-year-old boy whom I had met through our summer class took advantage of me in my own home and scarred me for life. But I realized that I can forgive him because of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you for giving me back my love. Now, we will not be in heaven more than 2 seconds where we'll be thinking, why did I place so much importance on that crazy earth that I was supposed to be a pilgrim in? One retired missionary was away for years, and he came back on a boat and saw a crowd and a red carpet, and they were playing musical instruments and all kinds of stuff. And he said, wow, what a greeting I'm getting after having been on the mission field for so many years. And then all of a sudden, somebody hollered out a famous person on the boat, and the missionary realized all the fanfare was for somebody else. He was about to get discouraged, and then the Holy Spirit comforted him, because the Holy Spirit's a comforter, right? Amen. Put his arm around him and said, you're not home yet. Right. And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good. God, will the church somehow get a hold of this? That you went about for your 33 years, knowing what was going to happen at the end of all your doing good, and they would crucify you, the ones you healed, were going to scream, crucify him! Because they wanted to go along with the crowd. Dying from self frees me from the prison of Bob Holmes. Real freedom is being set free from the prison of me. And by the way, self makes you miserable. One pastor said, I got really bad news to tell you. The roof is leaking. But I've got good news. It's bought and paid for. But I have one more piece of bad news. It's still in your pockets. And once it comes out of the pocket and goes to the church, you will have a joy because you're saying, I want to help the church. I don't need the next whatever. So real freedom is being set free from me. Have you ever heard somebody say, I helped somebody so much with their problem, I'm miserable. I went into depression because I helped you. Let me show you what depression is. Depression is when you're pressed in on your own problem and it's pressing you down because your mind is on you. You say, well, how do I get rid of depression? Forget you. He that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. So depression's going to leave when you can say, wow, there's a lot of people around here that have need, and I am going to be sick. By the way, do you have the same problem I have? Everywhere I go, there I am. How many of you have that same problem? You say, what do I need to do? Die daily. One lady came to a pastor. She said, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. Any suggestions? He said, go visit someone that's blind and pray with them. Then go to someone in a wheelchair and pray with them. Visit a nursing home. And about 6 weeks later, the pastor saw her on the sidewalk. How's your nervous breakdown coming? She said, I got so busy doing what you said, I called it off. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. There's nothing worse than when I'm the center of my own life. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, that you shine as lights in the world. I'm not supposed to come apart and just think about all my miseries. I'm supposed to say, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, take your tie off and go in a gym. Go in the middle of it all. And let light shine. Because how many of you believe light shines brighter when it's dark? So woe be unto us if we say God can't work today, because the truth is light shines brighter. I went to one school. They said, don't go to that school. And I read in the Bible, compassion makes a difference. They said, don't go to that school. Because the students, this school has all the rejected kids from all the public schools. And I thought of the verse, if I'm going to make a difference in that school, compassion makes a difference. What's compassion? It's being the ambulance drivers at the scene of the wreck. I said, I'll go to the school. They said, yeah. They will not throw spitballs at you. They will throw knives at you. I went to the school, and I saw 700 punkers under one roof. Hair going every which way, purple, green, color, and black black makeup and the mean look. And I said, dear Lord, if I'm going to make a difference in this school, please somehow love them while I'm speaking. Even though I can't preach the message during the day, but at night. Please, may love make a difference. And all of a sudden, I stopped in the middle of my message and I said, back then I used Britney Spears and now I use Lady Gaga. I'll say, she'll sing all her X-rated songs to you, but when you have AIDS or you have venereal disease, she's swimming in her heart-shaped swimming pool in the backyard while you're dying. And I don't want to see you dead. You say, what happened when you said that? The whole place got silent. When it was over, the principal walked up to me. He said, how did you do this? I said, what did I do? He said, how did you get them so quiet? He said, I've been a principal for years, and I didn't want to have this assembly because I thought there'd be a riot during it. What made the difference? And then that verse came back to me. Compassion makes a difference. How many believe that's true? That night, a whole volleyball team got saved. Compassion makes a difference, came back to me. A couple of years later, a girl came up. She said, remember when you came to my school? She was talking about that one. I said, I'll never forget it. She said, we had a Bible club that was a half a classroom big that grew to four classrooms big after the assembly. And I thought, I guess the Lord did love them, even though I couldn't preach, and it caused the Bible class to grow four times bigger. And I thought of the verse, compassion makes a difference. Let me tell you something. If we as Christians would have such an amazing passion, it will make a difference. It'll make a difference. You say, how come the church isn't making a difference? How come in Chattanooga, Tennessee, they have 500 churches, one for every neighborhood? And right alongside of it, adult places. No influence. Why? Because the church, pardon me, the church could care less. Amen. Preach it. Okay, I will. It's time the church rises up in humility and said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their apathy, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. How many would agree our land right now needs to be healed? What's the answer? Trump getting saved, for sure. Now, he did pray and ask Christ to save him. Needs to be taught by Pence more. And so, because he got on the television and said, all are children of God. No, you have to be saved to be a child of God. Right? Oh, I know what the answer is. Getting the Bible back in schools. be a wonderful thing, but the answer is us. The answer is you and me. Now, there is absolutely no life when I am on my mind. There's a joy that comes from serving. He must increase, I must what?
Decrease.
Selfish people have one thing in mind, what about me? And then they have a second thing, what about me? And they have a third thing, what about me? Now, if we are born selfish, and if you don't think you are, look what a baby does when you take a toy away. And then I read this. The problem in our young people is they don't self-analyze enough. Why did I do that? And then the answer comes back from someone who was a Christian counselor who studied psychology. You are like you are because you have an inward conflict based on your sanguine personality that was infused by your overbearing mother and by the neighborhood you grew up in. And you must analyze compulsive behavior that is quick to explode because the irritation is based on my inability to control my emotional makeup that I receive in my genes from my great-great-great-grandmother. And when we tell someone that, we're saying, look at you, think of your neighborhood, think of your personality, think of you. And that's why we're in a mess. The devil says, in order to be happy, take care of you. Every day we ought to be saying, how can I help someone else? Fruit comes when there's passion to do this. A man was asked by a reporter, what are the two problems that are most pressing in our world? The answer came back, I don't know and I don't care. 100 years from now, it will not matter whether I took my time feasting on the thickest marinated steak or somehow managed to live off of greasy hamburgers. Whether I had my residence in a 3-story plush mansion or slept in a cardboard box under a bridge. Won't matter whether I traveled everywhere I wanted to in a stretched limousine or rode in the most beat up, high mileage car in history. Whether I dined inside the most exquisite restaurants or drove through the cheapest fast food places to eat. It won't matter whether I had clothes that were wealthy clothes, or lived from day to day in the hood inside the ghetto, or if I had millions of dollars in several bank accounts, or managed to make off with just a few dollars in my pocket from time to time, or whether I had shopped for the nicest threads in the store by Neiman Marcus, or bargained for my secondhand clothes at a Goodwill. Or whether I planned vacations using the most extravagant hotel, which I found one was $75,000 for a night, or walked barefoot across the country, all that will matter, did I help someone else? So true humility is not thinking low of yourself, it's not thinking of you at all. Did I help someone? Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. You say, how? By letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How many believe we serve a Savior who was selfless? And he says, let your mind be the same. Real freedom is being set free from me. Now, I'm going to finish. You say when? I'm not sure. But it's so important. I read this and was I shocked. Here are the things that divide Christians. Whether a woman should have her head covered or not. Whether a Christmas tree should be allowed. Whether hymns should be all real old or some new ones that are good music. Whether music should be or the same person sing all the time. Or whether it should rotate through certain people. One church I was at, they were having secret meetings against the pastor in the foyer. They were all gathering talking against the pastor. You say, what was your sermon title Sunday night? The sin of having secret meetings in the church foyer against your pastor after a Sunday morning service. What do you think? It's all about me. It's what my opinion is. It's what matters to me. Pastors, I was going to preach this sermon and I didn't preach it. It was called Follow Your Under Shepherd If You Expect Green Pastures. If you don't follow the under shepherd, you're not following the great shepherd. And if you don't follow what God leads, and by the way, pastors have to make decisions they sometimes can't tell you about. Because they don't want to hurt someone's reputation unless they repent. They don't want it in your mind, so if they repent and get right, they come back. You don't even know what they did. But after all, I'm going to be against the pastor because I don't think he should have done that certain disciplinary act. And what you ought to say is, I'm going to forget me. And I'm going to realize that a pastor has a harder job than the president of the United States because a pastor is being fought by principalities and powers, and I'm going to pray for him. But I didn't preach that message. Maybe when I come back in March, I'll give that. People today have more ways to connect than ever, but they're so disconnected. We have cell phones, texting, internet, instant messaging, but we are disconnected from the people in this very room. And divisions come, arguments come. One church, they had an argument over a church meal because a lady brought a salad she made with Cool Whip instead of real whipping cream. Whether the Lord's Supper, now the deacons were throwing Bibles at each other. You say, why? They couldn't agree whether to use Welch's grape juice or another kind of grape juice during communion. Now what my suggestion is repent of your bitterness and don't take communion till you get your hearts right. One church had a split over who was the real pastor. They had two pastors, one assistant and one real. So two groups thought they each had their own guy. Both of them got up to lead the service one Sunday and both led the singing. Both groups tried to out-sing the other group. And then both pastors started preaching, and they were trying to find out who could out-preach each other. And finally, they broke up in a fist fight. I mean, I could just give you story after story after story of what's going on in our churches. But how many believe there's a greater cause than fighting amongst each other, and it's getting our eyes on Him? Now, I'm going to make it hard tonight. Would you say to yourself, I'm going to admit tonight that I haven't lived at the scene of the wreck very much. And so I wonder how long the pastor's going to preach tonight. Or you'll turn and look at the clock and get a kink in your neck because God's trying to tell you something. I'll look at the clock and just wonder if it's going to be long tonight. Or, I need every word I can get. Pastor, preach to me. Because I don't want to be full of apathy. I want to be at the wreck. And I want to care. Now, how many would love it if Brother Tom Henderson got some prayers that we could get in these schools and not think about the color of the carpet, but think about our wonderful Savior getting to these kids? Right? One more story, and it really happened. The visiting speaker noticed the brand new carpet all over the whole church, brand new. In the front was a big worn mark that went from one side to the other. And the visiting speaker said to the pastor, wow, your people must pray a lot. Look at all the knee marks here from praying. He said, that's not from people's knees praying. He said, well, how come there's a worn mark up here in the front when the whole carpet is perfectly new? He said, we bought a brand new piano. And half of our church wanted it on this side. The other half wanted it over here. So he said, on Sunday morning, we put it here. Then we drag it across the carpet. And we put it on the other side of the church for the Sunday night service. If somebody would leave a church over what side of the church a new piano's on, then we've got to repent of apathy. We got to look in the mirror and say, you're the reason America's going to hell, not the world. Now you say, well, I haven't argued over pianos. But what is it that gets in the way of us having, I've got to do this. I must work the works of him that sent me. Slow down, Pastor! Father, I thank you for the truth of the scripture tonight, that we are to have urgency to get rid of ourselves. Now, if you're like me, I want to say tonight, God, I have got to die more. Not more, but all the time. Help me, dear Lord, to die daily. Now, how many would say that's my prayer tonight too? I want to get off me and on others. Raise your hands. Now, if your hand's up, this is going to be very difficult, but I honestly believe revival starts with us. If you want God to use you to get away from you, and you put your hand up just then and said, that's what I need so much, would you run forward and kneel here at the front right now? Just come right up without hesitation. No music. Just come and say, God, get me away from me. God, help me to die with an urgency like I've never had in my life for the souls of people around me that are going to burn in hell forever. But Lord, most of all, they're not going to bring glory to you because they're not saved yet. And Lord, we want them to get saved so they can bring glory to a brand new heavenly Father. Lord, help us to be concerned about you tonight and not us. We're going to pray and it's going to be quiet for a while. And when the pastor feels led to close, he'll close.
Father, tonight we ask you to carry out through us what you've written in your word. You saved us so that we would not have to live for ourselves anymore, but that we might live unto you, the one who died for us, that we might live through us. Please stir our hearts for the lost. May we pray for a field to evangelize. May we be faithful to do it. Not in our own strength, but by your Spirit. By your Spirit, Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, it's your church, so you'll have to do the building. Build your church and let not the gates of hell prevail against it. Not I, but Christ. He must increase. I must decrease. Lord, in my hand nothing I bring, only to your cross I cling. Jesus, be more perfectly formed in us and come through us. It's our own self. It's our biggest problem all the time. Christ be magnified in us, we pray, and all God's people say, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.